Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. That means it's Friday Eve, little buddy. Dominic, welcome to the big show.
Hey, Crudy, good to be with you as always. Fancy Brian, Evan on the board, all of our fair audience. Happy Friday for me because I'm not working tomorrow.
Yeah, rub it in, buddy. Man, I'm pitching like a triple header this weekend. I'm doing a big show without you on Friday. Then I am the super-duper celebrity guest host of the inaugural Friday Night Live, live from Waukesha. You know, they shut down the entirety of downtown Waukesha, and they broadcast live bands, or they do live bands, and we're going to broadcast live bands with a little Crudy commentary interspersed. And God only knows what I'm going to be talking about after a couple of cold ones.
Crudy, the rock and roll DJ, baby.
I can't.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm going to miss it.
If I'm going to do any day drinking tomorrow, though, Dom, I'm going to have to get it done early. Go to bed early because we're getting up and we're broadcasting the farmer's market. And Don Brown, his show at a new time this week in Waukesha, now broadcasting from the farmer's market effective Saturday at 8 a.m. And we're launching the new Jim Santel show. Jim launching his big show on Saturday morning as well, 9 o'clock. That will play out in both markets, both here on Devil Radio and also on the Shaw, our sister
nice.
Station.
Nice. Excellent. Is it just the Jim Santel show, or do we have a fancy name?
I had made a recommendation, and the only Jim and, you know, Jim responded. And Jim's thinking maybe morning cannolis with Jim Santel, something like that. I suggested, you know, take the cannolis.
Leave the gun.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, he will inform you on Saturday mornings beginning this Saturday. He will not be live from the farmer's market. He's doing studio. Apparently, you know, wants to not be distracted by the rhubarb and all the fine people.
You know, I love doing live events, but it can get a little, you know, distracting. And, you know, you never know how the tech's going to go. So I look forward to hearing Jim on the radio on a regular basis.
With tech support like yours truly, how could it not go
What could possibly go wrong?
I can't imagine why he wants to do it in the studio. So we got a big weekend ahead, Dom, and you've got some sad news to update.
Oh, man.
As
here
we turn
go.
The hour.
Here we go again. Another mass shooting, this time in our great state of Wisconsin. The Journal Times reporting in Racine, multiple people were shot Thursday afternoon in or near Graceland Cemetery. They report that details are scarce. So far, the public is being asked to avoid the area in West Racine. Ascension All Saints Hospital, which is treating an undisclosed number of victims from the shooting, is on lockdown out of an abundance of caution following the shooting, a spokesperson said. The cemetery's property is right next to the hospital. In an alert at 3:47 on Thursday, the Racine Police Department said at 2:26 p.m. there were multiple shots fired at Graceland Cemetery. There are victims, but unknown how many at this time. The scene is active and being investigated. Members of the group gathered at the hospital afterwards told reporters that the shooting occurred during the burial of DeShante King, who died Friday, May 20th, after he fled a Racine police officer and was shot dead. The state investigation into that fatal shooting is ongoing. Many children, including King's four children, were in attendance at the funeral. Streets have been blocked off. Law officers can be seen inside the cemetery standing near a white casket resting above ground near the hole it appears it was supposed to have been placed in, and interviewing witnesses, canines can be seen searching the area. casings have been littering multiple streets. Area residents said they heard 20 to 30 shots. One woman said it sounded like firecrackers. Park High School students were released 10 minutes later than normal due to the nearby crime scene. Once law enforcement assured school leaders that it was safe to do so, said the Racine Unified spokesperson. Racine on the scene, cops were on the scene. What else we have here? Yeah, running for their lives. Three young men playing basketball near at Lockwood Park, immediately west of the cemetery. Said they were nearly shot about 10 minutes after the funeral procession had gone by. They said they heard shots and the fence behind them was repeatedly hit. Trey Brantley, one of the men, started running to his car the moment he heard shots. He could only hope his brother was safe following him, and he was. They both got in their car and ducked down, praying they wouldn't get hurt. This has got to stop, Brantley said of the gun violence.
Now, WTMJ Four via Twitter earlier was reporting five victims. Obviously, this is still breaking news. And yes, the chart I referenced earlier today, like 231 mass shootings in this nation. Apparently, Dom, that number has been wrenched up a bit.
A CNN reported that a 16-year-old was arrested after police received a tip he was recruiting students for a mass shooting at a California high school. This from about 1 o'clock Eastern this afternoon. Their tally in their article, quoting the Gun Violence Archive, that America has now had 233 mass shootings. Of course, that was before this most recent one in Racine, where apparently at least five people have been shot. So,
well, that would check the box then, Dom. 234 and counting.
Did the math annualize that number, Crudy? It's about 560 mass shootings we are on pace for 2022.
Sure you want to do math on the radio, Dom?
Not really.
Fancy. Just a little thing. Melissa Agard, our state senator here, she had a press conference today, and she remarked earlier today when she gave her press conference about guns that she had to amend her statements at that time because of the latest shooting that had happened just a day or so ago.
And she'll have to amend again. Amend her notes right up to real time, apparently.
And watch your phones, because every time
I turn around, there's a new mass shooting being reported. My kid asked me last night, hey, Dad, you see there's another shooting? I said, yeah, I did. I know.
Yeah. More than one a day. 560 is what we're going to be annualizing this year.
Now, Joe Biden, the president, will be speaking to the nation in primetime this evening. Quickly from the Hill, Morgan Chalfant reporting. President Biden will deliver a speech in primetime tonight about the need for gun reform. Remarks that were hastily added to the White House schedule after another mass shooting grabbed headlines. That was the one before this mass shooting. The White House said in updated guidance that Biden will deliver remarks on the recent tragic mass shootings and the need to pass common sense laws to combat the epidemic of gun violence that is taking lives every day. Now, Biden called for action on gun reform following the mass shootings in recent weeks in Buffalo, New York, Uvalde, Texas, but he's largely left it up to Congress what kind of measure to pursue. It's unclear how much more specific Biden will be in the address tonight, which is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. Now, understand, I'm reading thehill.com. That's probably Eastern, 6:30 Central, before he departs for a long weekend in Delaware. Better take the weekend, Joe. We've also got a quote from Chevy Johnson talking about, a slow-moving mass murder in Chicago. But let's get to the phones, Tom. 844-967-2789. Appreciate your patience, Tom. Thanks for holding. What do you got for us?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Sounds like you got a great lineup happening starting this weekend. Pretty awesome.
Thanks, sir.
You'd be very proud of us, Tom.
Well, as Tom said when he came on, what could go wrong? I don't know if you guys saw the story of Greg Abbott talking about having random intruder practices at schools, just basically calling the cops and telling them, hey, we're going to have a random thing, and then see whether the school can resist this random intruder that they don't know is coming. And
I'm sure the kids won't be traumatized at all.
No.
Now, are the kids going to know? Are they in on the game? Or how is this going to really happen, Tom? Do you know?
Well, you can Google Abbott's letter. It's on the web. And there's a thing where basically they want to get some sort of, you know, unrehearsed response, but at the same time, they want to make sure that nobody gets shot. It's kind of like the intersection of stand your ground and open carry. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's just stupid. And now, you know, guns are the number one cause of death for children and teens in America. This is freaking insane.
Yeah, but it's not the guns, Tom. Just ask any of the Republicans and, you know, all the solutions, quote unquote, that they're offering. You know,
harden the schools, arm
the
teachers,
schools, faith. You know, get rid of moral rot. Go back to church.
Lock that back door.
Yes, don't let the teachers leave the door open.
That's the real problem.
That was a false statement by the Uvalde Police Department.
844-967-2789. Ryan from Madison. Welcome, Ryan. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ryan.
Well, hey, guys. Yeah, it's a sad day. It's been a sad year so far. But I think all the Second Amendment well-regulated militia people want to follow a piece of paper that was written 200-plus years ago, that they should only be allowed to have the guns that were existing 200-plus years ago. I say, you know, you're guaranteed the right to have a musket. Everything else is fair game on the table for regulation. So, I mean, you know, you get one shot, and then you're going to get tackled. You know, you're not going to sit there and, like, tear off a piece of paper and pack your powder in the gun in, you know, how many seconds or minutes. Seriously.
Don't forget the ramrod, Ryan. The ramrod's an important step.
Correct. You know, the only other
and
thing
the wadding,
I can think
the
of
wadding.
Is the wadding. If there's a bayonet on the end, that could be another part of it too. But you know, if you really want to follow the rules and follow the Second Amendment when it was made, there were only muskets.
Well, that's a very originalist thought, Ryan.
Thanks for your call, Ryan. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We're taking your phone calls, your opinions. Welcome here at 844-967-2789. The Thursday edition that feels like a Friday to Dom, because, you know, he's taking another one off, but I'm taking one for the team. We're doing live radio all week, including Friday. The rest of us, not including Dom.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Were you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
To the Devil's Advocates radio show, always love it when you participate in this fine program. You can do so toll-free at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, you know, we've heard differing excuses for these mass shootings, or at least different places to point blame. But I don't know if you know what Laura Ingraham's blaming it on. She's blaming it on the weed.
What?
Mass shootings, primarily because, you know, the weed's gotten better, according to Laura Ingraham on Fox News. Don't call her a journalist.
Don't call her a scientist. Don't call the comeback.
Fox News host Laura Ingraham on Tuesday suggested that marijuana consumption might be contributing to the uptick in mass shootings in America. An alleged link she called the pot psychosis violent behavior connection.
Wow.
It's nearly famous. I've just heard of it.
Sounds scientific.
Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
Ingram's remarks came in an interview with Dr. Russell Kamer, the medical director of Partners in Safety, which helps companies to provide drug tests for employees. They're in the drug testing industry, Dom. During this segment, the conservative pundit brought up last week's shooting in Uvalde, Texas, where 19 children and two adults were murdered in a school shooting by an 18-year-old gunman with a legally purchased assault rifle. Ingram asked her guest, Kramer, why aren't people in general not talking more about the pot psychosis violent behavior connection? What we find in studies is it's very clear that the use of high potency marijuana is strongly associated with the development of psychosis, Kramer said. My colleagues in Colorado, Kramer continued, are sounding the alarm because that was one of the first states to legalize. It's practically a daily occurrence that kids come into the emergency rooms in a florid cannabis-induced psychosis.
Really? Are they coming into the emergency rooms and shooting everybody, or are they just tripping out because they consume too much cannabis?
That's not clarified here in the interview transcript, the annotation, Dom. Let me just read a bit more. At one point, Ingram stressed that the country needs to have a serious national conversation about the alleged potential for weed to make young men more violent. Yes, let's have that conversation. Yeah. Does it happen? No.
No.
Conversation
over.
That's
why they're not talking about it.
This is something that the medical community is well aware of. Yet, you get the sense that billions of dollars are on the line are more important than our kids, Ingram said.
Now, is she talking about the gun lobby or what?
Big,
okay, please continue.
The big pot lobby, Dom.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And what's happening, especially to young men in the United States who are frequent users of this high-potency THC that's now in the marijuana products sold legally in dispensaries across the United States. Well, guess what, Laura Ingram? We don't got no legal marijuana dispensaries here in the state of Wisconsin. Just had another mass shooting. How do you explain that? Well, probably black market pot psychosis, violent,
I mean, what whatever. A freaking joke. I mean, nobody. And I've been consuming high potency weed for much of my adult life.
As long as they've been making it high potency, you've been consuming it high potency?
You know it.
Remember the dude with the backpack and his dad was like the superintendent of schools?
Yeah.
And he used to come around and he had the good stuff.
Oh, the green, man. You'd get a little quarter of that and stick it up in your closet wrapped up in bags and foil and whatever you can do. And as soon as you open the door of the house, you knew that stuff was in town.
Yeah, everybody knew.
Stanky.
Get him out. It's loud up in here.
Yep. This is an embarrassment. Oh, you got more to add?
One more quote from Laura Ingram.
Oh, God, do we have to
cut her short without full context now?
Well, of course. Let's put the cherry on top, Crudy.
And yet people like Beto O'Rourke, and I'm not trying to drag you into a political conversation, Dr. Kramer, but they're fine with going in and do a run on the guns. And I guess you can argue that if that's what you want to do, try to get rid of the Second Amendment. But yeah. Completely oblivious to what legalization of marijuana has done and it's doing to an entire generation of Americans with violent consequences.
Bull crap! What? And people have been smoking weed before it became legal, Ingram. And I smoke weed and I watch porn. And I listen to rock and roll and rap and punk rock. And I never, ever once had the instinct or the urge to go and buy an AR-15 at 2 o'clock and walk out at 5 o'clock and shoot people because my back hurt. I mean, and she's supposed to be, I don't know, a journalist, I guess not, a talking head, certainly. I got one for you. How about this? I guarantee you, like 99% of those mass murderers drink milk. When are we going to, stop the milk lobby, man?
The slippery milk slope?
I mean, give me a freaking break. This is an embarrassment. You can go down the list and come up with any outrageous comparison, a correlation that you want to. This is not scientific. We've been consuming as a humanity this substance since humanity began.
Well, Dom, there was that one time, it turns out, according to Tucker Carlson, rhymes with Tucker, also on the Foxy News, that one time back in August of 2019, the shooter in Dayton, Ohio killed 9 people and wounded 17. Foxy News host Tucker pointed to the fact the gunman was a longtime user of the marijuana. It turns out, in fact, that many violent individuals have been avid marijuana users, Carlson said at the time. Is there a connection, question mark?
Hey, I'm just asking questions over here.
And now the author references the PolitiFact, which states, there is no clear linkage between marijuana and violence. No clear linkage? According to PolitiFact, it's widely known amongst drug policy experts that weed consumption and psychosis are correlated, though no strong casual relationship has emerged. And public health researchers in 2016 found that pot tends to make people more relaxed.
What?
More chill, you might say.
That's not what Fox News said. How can that possibly be true? Oh, yeah, because I've been smoking it damn near my whole life, and I'm pretty relaxed, except when I got to deal with asses like Laura Ingraham.
It's a long-term, longitudinal study. You do it for science.
Yes, yes.
Come back. We're doing it for science, folks. More Devil's Advocates. Your calls could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
Hey, listen, guys. Look, I don't want to mess with no reefer addicts, okay?
No, but then I do enjoy the smell of this stuff, don't I?
I can taste it.
Get your hands on the jackpot.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Joe Biden going to address the nation this evening. We're addressing the nation right now, right here on the airwaves. You're listening, 844-967-2789. You can play a part as well, like Mark from the SAC. Mark, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, guys, a brief moment of levity to start out that Connecticut cheesehead gains Donald Trump's support. I mean, for Tim Michaels getting the endorsement of
what's Donald your source? Trump, Fancy Brian was trying to pass that news off earlier, and I'm skeptical of the sourcing.
Well, I got it from Fancy Brian. That's it.
Well, then I'm really skeptical of the sourcing.
I got sourcing. ISN is reporting. ISN is reporting. Mark Belling dropped it per sources from him, as well as Jay Weber. Those are the people who are putting it out there that it will drop eventually.
Well, and to get back to the more serious subject, we see this nitwit from Florida trying to put a different magazine in a different weapon, and it just is. They do design smaller magazine sizes, limited in sizes, for those particular weapons. Just so you can't put a square peg in a round hole. You know, the guy is an idiot. His gun should be taken away from him because he obviously doesn't know the first thing about safe gun handling. It is just these Republicans are perfectly willing to take the First Amendment and wipe their butts with it because they want to ban books but they're unwilling to put some limitations on the firearms that the civilians are allowed to pack around. I mean, I just don't get it. And I'm a gun owner, for God's sake. I mean,
what you packing, Mark?
Well, I got some revolvers. I mean, and a few of them are front-loading revolvers. They're like Civil War-style revolvers, and one I kind of inherited from my dad, a little .22 copy of a Colt Peacemaker. But those are all locked up. I mean, that it just is. You know, I enjoy shooting, I enjoy hunting, but I just, you know, that. I've never felt the need to get an M16 or, you know, that and or one of its descendants or.
Well, Mark, maybe if you smoke more pot. I understand that has a tendency to create some violent thoughts. And
well, that's what they say on users. Fox News anyway.
Dom, I don't know if I told you because we haven't talked earlier. Just first chat on the radio today.
Yeah, what's that?
I got invited back on Foxy News this weekend.
Are
so,
you going?
First and foremost, mission was not accomplished the last time when I said I was going to burn it down.
Yeah, you were a fine guest, though.
You
did yourself well.
I was so wanting to talk about the disinformation panel and the fact that Fox is a disinformation network. That was going to be my clever take. But anyways, yeah, now I'm playing hard to get. You know, I figure I'll make them work for it a little bit. So anyways, they invited me on this weekend. I'm like, no, my kid's graduating. They said, well, what about next weekend? And I said, yeah, okay, I guess next weekend. Guess what next Sunday is, Dom, when they've invited me on Fox News?
What?
June 12th.
It's your birthday.
You know what I did last year on my birthday? Went on Fox News.
Happy birthday.
Technically,
to you.
It was on June 13th and I had my birthday hangover. But this year I'm celebrating a lot of different stuff on June 11th. So I'm going to have a June 12th. I'm going to have a birthday hangover on my birthday this year on Fox News.
I mean, I know since it won't be immediately, what's the sense of topics? I mean, hopefully it'll be some
They don't tell you until you come out of break and they shine the bright light in your eyes and they ask you, why are you supportive of Joe Biden's open border policies?
Is that so you don't know when you go on what the top, at least what the subject matter is, really?
Well, what they did the last time was they showed me like the big boy menu. They got like 22 items on the menu, like could be any of these items. And then literally, like as we're coming out of break, they said, we're going to talk about, I forget what it, you know, something about immigration, because they're always ginning up fear of the immigrants on the Foxy News. And I forget what the other thing was, but it wasn't the disinformation panel.
That's the only thing
I had a clever line for. And you remember.
Was it on the list?
If you'll recall, Dom, the last time I went on Fox News was the day after I partied with you and the rest of my college roommates. At least those respectful enough to show up for the party.
Oh, the NFL draft weekend. That's right.
That wasn't that long ago, was it?
No.
I am definitely.
Wow, man, they must really like you. Did you leave your toothbrush there? I mean, why do they keep calling you?
You know, I like to leave a couple of things around the Fox News studio. Then, you know, I got to go pick them up, and maybe they'll invite me back. 844-967-2789. Doogie, welcome back to the big show. Calling from Chi-Town.
Hey,
welcome,
Doogie. Doogie.
Hey, welcome back, Dom. Hello.
Thank you. Hey.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Fair enough, Doogie.
Hi, Mike. Okay, there we go. Okay.
So you've acknowledged the panel, and Evan and Fancy Brian.
And our fair audience.
Oh, Brian didn't answer the phone. I kind of missed that today, but it's okay. You know.
Sorry,
I don't know who answered the phone.
That was Evan.
Hi, Brian. Hey, Devin. Hey, welcome. All right. I had to spell my name for him. It's the first time he took my name. But so a couple quick things. Remember when we had in the 70s, we had these toys that were swiftly banned called jarts.
Oh yeah,
lawn jarts.
Oh yeah, you can't.
That's what you use to spear your brother with. In my family case,
you can't keep them. You can't sell them. If you have them, don't tell no one. But you know they got swift action because they were hurting people. I guess I was little, but I remember seeing them. So that's the hypocrisy. Is like. Instant. We banned toys, but not these toys. Okay, but
well,
anyway.
Maybe, hang on, Doogie. Maybe if we classify jarts as an arm, you could arguably defend yourself with some jarts, right?
Aha, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? See?
So then we'll undo the ban on them, right?
Go stand in that circle. I got a jart coming your way, man.
See how close we can get to you without hitting you.
Well, so we actually know, the real solution to this, and that is to vote. We need a 60-plus Democratic majority in the Senate. That's the only way we're going to get action, period. That is the answer. There's no other answer. To keep it on a serious note, that's the answer, period. There's no other answer.
Well, Doogie, we don't have to get to 60, and I don't disagree with the current math, but if we had a workable majority in the Senate, if we had 52, 53... Well, then we can decide, we as the party in control, as long as you hold your caucus, you can decide to get rid of the filibuster, Doogie, and then you could advance legislation every piece you chose to with 50 votes. You know, like a freaking democracy, like majority rules.
Weird.
Yeah, instead of minority rule.
All we would have to do, Doogie, is beat Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. And maybe elect John Fetterman in Pennsylvania.
Sounds good to me. And then the last thing as far as Laura Ingraham, of course, she has to blame the weed. Because if she blames the powder, she's, you know, what is she going to be on?
I don't think you're talking about gunpowder there, Doogie.
No. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Doogie. Thanks for listening. And Chi-Town, WCPT, 820 AM territory. They hear us there. They hear us.
So thank you.
Yeah, Trump took all the powder.
I don't, you know, I want to respond. You know, I feel tempted. Like you're baiting me into responding. I'm like Don Jr. following my nose into that fight. But I'm going to pass for now, you know, trying to be better. Dom, there's an article at the Journal Sentinel. The newly elected mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Chevy Johnson, says easy access to guns is the city's top public safety threat. Like to read a little bit of this reporting. And you can always comment, 844-967-2789. Easy access to guns is the greatest threat to public safety in Milwaukee, but the city's hands are largely tied when it comes to regulating them. Mayor Cavalier Johnson said today, it's a slow-motion mass murder on a constant basis, Johnson said. That's something all of us should be attuned to and all of us should be upset by. Like many cities nationwide, Milwaukee is on track to break its homicide rate in 2022, now for the third year in a row. 90 homicides have been recorded so far in 2022, blowing past the 61 and 64 reported in the same periods in the last 2 years, respectively.
Wow.
The vast majority stem from gun violence. Milwaukee has already seen two mass shootings in 2022. 15 students in Milwaukee public schools were killed this year by gun violence. 15 school-age kids. Now, I realize there are 19 dead in Uvalde, Texas, and that happened all at once, so it seems more tragic, and it gets more news attention.
Yeah.
But cumulatively, 15 dead Milwaukee-area kids. May not be your kids, but they're somebody's kid. Johnson's answer also came amid heightened nationwide outcry in the wake of the 21-victim shooting in Uvalde, Texas, just a day after four were killed in a mass shooting in a medical center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Such questions on violence and crime reduction were key themes at the Newsmaker Luncheon held by the Milwaukee Press Club and WispPolitics.com. Journalists filled the room in downtown for a chance to drill Johnson on his tenure so far, as well as the road ahead. It was Johnson's first time in the hot seat as mayor. The 35-year-old became acting mayor in December and then was elected just 2 months ago. He will serve an abbreviated 2-year term in the place of Tom Barrett, the former mayor who stepped down to become ambassador to Luxembourg. Apparently wanted to escape the gun crime, Tom. Johnson also fielded questions on whether the city had any benchmarks for violence reduction. He offered no specifics, but said he would continue to pressure higher officials have worked to strengthen holistic public safety and the size of the police force. One last quote. Regarding the 2024 and the prospect of the Republican National Committee or convention, as the case may be, coming to Brewtown, Tom, coming to Milwaukee, there's no way in the short term for Milwaukee to succeed to address the problems of violence unless we have a better relationship with Madison. The way they fund local governments is broken. That's the message that we've got to send them. He said he supports the state-city relationship. Is he? I didn't quite understand the reporting here. But anyways, he's supportive of the RNC coming.
Yeah, I'll jump in here, Curdy. Johnson pointed to the importance of building relationships with Republicans in the state legislature, which limits the city's ability to raise taxes. You know, local control. That state-city relationship is how he explained his support for hosting the 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And again, his quote, there's no way in the short term, it just dropped out on me. There's no way in the short term for Milwaukee to succeed, to address the problems of violence unless we have a better relationship with Madison. The way they fund local governments is broken. That's the message we've got to send them. The mayor placed some responsibility on parents and community members, calling for them to step up as mentors for young black men in particular and use anonymous tip lines to report dangerous activities. Johnson further noted recent efforts to engage city youth through a potential free driver's education program and summer programming. He leaned heavily on his experience growing up as a young black man on the city's north side, relying on a YMCA mentorship. Perhaps the most poignant moment of the event came when Johnson was asked about his brother, who was jailed days before the April 5th election. The mayor said he has not spoken to his brother since the arrest on charges related to a shooting, but spoke about their divergent paths at greater depth than he had previously revealed. Quote, for far too many black people, you get locked into neighborhoods like that, and that's the only thing that you experience. It's not easy for young black men who grow up in environments like that to escape. It's purely by the grace of God and luck that I am not the person sitting on that TV screen.
You know, we've got a colleague who broadcast in the morning on the Shaw, Earl Ingram. And Earl is an instrumental moving part of the Voices of the Elders program. And I would just say, I know that the city of Milwaukee is supportive of this mentorship program, these elders trying to teach kids as young as 10 to 14 to do something other than, you know, be on the street shooting each other. So we'll continue to update you on that topic. And you can continue to update us at 844-967-2789. More Devils going to break, coming back, perhaps with your phone calls.
Freedom.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Freedom!
Well, I sleep 4 hours, and I'm so tired I can barely keep my eyes open. This world.
The
so
Devil's high. Advocates. Oh, just making down. Radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you call us and join the political party at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, do you know what today is in the great state of Wisconsin?
What's that?
Today is ballot signature day. You got to turn in your ballot signatures to qualify for the Wisconsin ballot today. 5 o'clock's the deadline. And so far, there are a number of races where Republicans will go unchallenged by Democrats. Here's one interesting footnote, Dom. You might find this interesting. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and three GOP members of the state congressional delegation drew primary opponents. Rojo's got a primary opponent suddenly.
Ooh, excellent.
And apparently this person looks on track to qualify for the ballot. David Schroeder of Milwaukee filed nomination papers May 27th to challenge Rojo, the Republican from Mosh Vegas, in the GOP primary, and the Elections Commission found he had 2,778 signatures. Now, you need 2,000 ballot signatures to qualify for statewide office. So, looks like he probably made it.
Hope he got his own and didn't rely on, you know, those Michigan ballot collectors.
Dominic, meanwhile, Douglas Mulinex of Menasha filed a run against U.S. Rep. Glenn Grothman, Republican of Glenn Beulah, in the 6th CD GOP primary. Sean Claremont of Oneida filed nomination papers in the U.S. To run against U.S. Rep. Mike Gallagher in the 8th CD GOP primary. And in the 7th CD, David Kanulis, or something there close to that, of Arborvitae filed papers to challenge U.S. Rep. Tom Tiffany, Republican of Minocqua, in the GOP primary. I like to see these competitive Republican primaries, Dom. Here's a little interesting note. No Democrat has filed to run in the 6th CD as of early this afternoon. Now, Dem Robin Kettleson of Appleton registered to run in the 8th CD, but hasn't yet filed nomination papers. So they've got till 5 o'clock, but, you know, if you got them, you show them early. Put your cards on the table if you get to pull in the whole pot, right? Dem Rep. Mart Spreitzer of Beloit has posed to win a seat in the state Senate without facing a primary opponent or a general election opponent. There's gerrymandering at work for you. They don't even bother to run, right?
Yeah.
He is the only candidate to have turned in nomination papers by early this afternoon for the seat of retiring Senator Janice Ringhand, Democrat of Evansville. And a few more sort of campaign notes, Dom, if you don't mind, if you'll indulge me.
Indulge away.
GOP Senator Devin LeMahieu of Utsburg, John Jagler, chasing the dragon in Watertown.
The Jag.
Van Wongert of Racine and Chris Kapinga of Delafield drew no Dem opponent. Did you catch that? LeMahieu, Jagler, Wongert, and Kapinga have no Democratic opponents in their
race. I guess there must not be any Democrats in their area, huh?
Both district?
Not one.
LeMahieu and Wongert both have GOP primary opponents. Republican Dylan Kurtz of Janesville registered to challenge Steve Noss of Whitewater in the GOP primary, but he hadn't filed nomination paperwork as of early this afternoon. And two candidates have filed nomination papers to challenge LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader in the GOP primary, Jeanette Deshaina Bantwak, and Ruth Villarreal of Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
She's a schmingy. The GOP members of the assembly to attract a primary opponent who filled nomination papers as of early this afternoon included, let me make sure I read that right, Joel Kitchens of Sturgeon Bay, Tyler August of Lake Geneva, Robert Brooks of Saukville, Robin Voss of Rochester, James Edmond of Glenflora, Lauren Oldenburg of Viroqua, and Voss, if you didn't know Dom, he's the assembly speaker. And one more time, the deadline to turn in nomination papers, 5 p.m. You got 6 minutes.
I hope you got
the qualifying signatures. One other note today, Dom, the Milwaukee Common Council unanimously voted to advance the proposal for the RNC bid. RNC MKE 2024?
Oh, can't wait to see the Proud Boys marching down the street. That's going to be a fun one. Or maybe the Oath Keepers will step up and make sure that, you know, all those snowflake Republicans are protected from the scary brown people.
It's almost like you don't like the Oath Keepers.
You know, I get it, man. Everyone wants, you know, economic prosperity. And when groups come to town, they spend money, food, booze, whatever, right? I get all that. But at some point, when do you decide that you don't want the particular patrons of an organization, you don't want their money? You know, at what point?
Stand back and stand by.
Yeah, and they stood back and stood by. They put it on a T-shirt, and that's how they walked around. They listened to it.
Come on, man. It's not like the Milwaukee Common Council just voted to host the KKK convention. I know that I often find the Republicans distasteful, Dom, but they have the right to throw a party, do they not? And if you're going to throw a party, no better place than Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee's a great town.
On many sides.
On many sides, yeah. Yeah, on many sides. We went to Cleveland, man. We talked to some of those owners down there. The way they fence off the downtown in Cleveland, all those bars and restaurants were not getting any business. It was a pain to get into the area. You got to get, you know, through the gates multiple times. It's not an easy flow. Let's just put it that way. So I'm you know,
come on,
that's
man,
a
great
a
time but was had listen, by all at the Winkin' Lizard.
Well, we were at the Winkin' Lizard and we had a great time. We always have a great time. But there are going to be Proud Boys, you know, there's going to be Nazis, Confederate flags. That's how they roll, right? That's how they roll. And when you bring the Republican Party, and we've talked about this, there's no more fringe Republican Party. The Republican Party is now fringe, right? I mean, as bad as former Speaker Paul Ryan may have been, he's, you know, now that he's retired and cashing those checks, pushing back on the Trump and this entirety of the crazy-ass Republican Party, but they are the fringe party. And when you're fringe party, there's no more just standard Republicans, whatever that may have been. Fringe has taken over the party. This is the mega party. This is the Trump party. And those folks are going to bring their crews to Milwaukee. And
now,
you're
going to
be cashing checks from the Proud Boys. I have a little bit of a problem inviting fascists to come and hang out in Milwaukee.
Well, you take up your little problem with the unanimous vote of the Milwaukee Common Council because they disagree with you. And the mayor, Cavalier Johnson, pointed out, man, if you will not allow the city of Milwaukee to, what, raise their own taxes.
Right.
And you basically accept a dollar from Milwaukee and send 67 cents back in state aid. I mean, Milwaukee's the biggest giver to the state economy, not taker. The state is taking from Milwaukee. They're taking their meager resources. So if you can't raise taxes and the state's not returning your money, well, you got to look to outside funding sources. And apparently Zuckerbucks are off the books. So you got to take that greasy, dirty GOP gun money,
Proud
apparently,
Boy,
Dom.
Oath Keeper money. Yeah, take insurrection money. That's going to be great. That's really going to work out well for Milwaukee. I hope nothing happens, but I'm not holding my breath.
Well, man, nothing happened in Cleveland except you kissing Alex Jones up by the statue.
Come on, man. That was pre-insurrection. It's a whole new world now, baby.
I hate Illinois Nazis.